RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Plan to nominate active police officers for the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, post receive mixed reaction. Indonesia is expected to become the world Islamic financial center. Indonesia's trade balance in May surplus $955 million. Now the news in detail. The announcement from the National Police that they plan to nominate two serving officers to become leaders in Indonesia's anti-graft agency has garnered mixed reaction from observers. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said over the weekend that the police would nominate two active police officers and one retired as candidates for the five open positions at the Corruption Eradication Agency, KPK. The KPK Commissioner Selection Team earlier this month visited the National Police to ask the force to run background checks on candidates. After the meeting, the police reportedly expressed an interest in nominating their own candidates for the leadership of the respected anti-graft body. The move has raised eyebrows among some commentators, especially at a time when the police force is seen as in direct conflict with the KPK. University of Indonesia criminologist Adrianus Meliala said, although police officers should not be prohibited from running for a KPK commissioner post, the police force themselves should not nominate candidates to represent the institution. Adrianus said candidates should nominate themselves based on self-motivation, not because of others. House of Representatives Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah, however, has welcomed the police's initiative to nominate their members for commissioner post. As the largest Muslim population country in the world, the Indonesian government will continue to encourage the development of Indonesian Islamic finance industry to become the world Islamic financial center. Currently, the Islamic financial industry in Indonesia is still in developing condition. It's just 4.7% of the total industry of Indonesian financial services, or only about 264.8 trillion rupiah for 5,600 trillion rupiah has been recorded. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, in his speech at the opening ceremony of the Syariah Public Market in Jakarta on Sunday, said that through the development of micro, small and medium enterprises, or SMEs, and the infrastructure financing, Indonesia will become the center of Islamic financial development. This is the first mode that should be developed in order to become a major pillar in national development, particularly through the development of SMEs and infrastructure financing. If all existing potential is continuously developed, we are optimistic Indonesia will become the development of global Islamic financial center. We must be sure it. Currently, Indonesia has 11 million customers of Islamic banking and listed as the largest retail sukuk issuer country in the world. Retail sukuk is the Islamic securities issued by the Ministry of Finance, and the selling is also regulated by the state or the Ministry of Finance. The Indonesian Central Statistics Agency record that Indonesia's trade balance in May 2015 enjoys a surplus worth $955 million. Head of agency Suryamin on Monday said that the total Indonesia's export in May amounted to $12.56 billion. Meanwhile, its import reaches $11.61 billion, and he added during January up to May 2015, Indonesia's trade balance continues to book a surplus.
Neraca perdagangan Mei surplus 0.95.
The trade balance in May booked a surplus worth $0.95 billion. This is the fifth surplus during 2015 from January up to May. Therefore, in January up to May, the trade booked a surplus of $3.75 billion.
Terjadi surplus 3.75 miliar US dollar.
Suryamin further said that the highest increase in export was recorded with the commodities of ore, metal, and metal ash. Meanwhile, the export of fat and animal or vegetable oil suffered the lowest decrease. Suryamin told that the US, India, and Japan are the largest exporting countries from Indonesia in May 2015. The three provinces, West Java, East Kalimantan, and East Java, were the biggest contributors to the national export in January up to May 2015. He noted the three largest importing countries to Indonesia are China, Japan, and Singapore. Australia on Monday told Indonesia to better secure its borders in a stinging rebuke after Jakarta demanding answers to allegations Canberra paid to turn back a boat of asylum seekers. Claims that the captain and five crew of a boat carrying migrants from Bangladesh, Myanmar, and Sri Lanka were rich paid $5,000 by an Australian immigration official to turn back to Indonesia were made to Indonesian police on Rote Island in the country's east last week. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott has refused to deny the allegations, with the opposition Labour Party writing to the Auditor General requesting an urgent investigation. The Greens Party was also due Monday to ask the Upper House Senate to demand the government table documents detailing any payments. Bishop suggested in an interview with the Australian newspaper that Indonesia was to blame for failing to properly manage its borders. She added this should include any breaches of passport and visa laws and establishing whether the captains and crews of these boats are part of people smuggling syndicates or are paid by them. Bishop said, referring to Australia's anti-people smuggling policy, the best way for Indonesia to resolve any concerns it has about Operation Sovereign Borders is for Indonesia to enforce sovereignty over its borders. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Container terminal operator at Tanjung Priok Port has taken measures to prevent imported container losses during container moving process. One of the measures includes electronic-based tracker or as e-seal installment on containers. PT Pelabuhan Tanjung Priok President Director Ari Haryanto said container terminal operators must be ready to implement the policy requiring them to install the tracker, Ari said, as reported by business.com on Sunday. Ari explained that operators' readiness to secure the container moving process would reflect the commitment on the transparency of activities and better services provided at Tanjung Priok Port. Ari asserted that container misplacement during the moving process must not recur. He hopes that all terminal operators would follow the procedures on securing container relocation set by the Customs and Excise Office. The National Democrat Nasdem Party suggested the revision of Law No. 19, Year 2003, on state-owned enterprises. A commission, 6-member from Nasdem faction, Zulfan Lindan, said the revision will be to solve management issues of state-owned enterprises that are considered to be chaotic. According to Zulfan, some important points that should be of concern is that small state-owned enterprises often became derelict cos. Privatization rules and discourse of holding company formation are not set clearly. Privatization, he said, contradicts with Article 1, Paragraph 2 of state-owned enterprises law. The article states that the state's ownership limit is at least 51%. Zulfan said that the previous state-owned enterprises law do not discuss the terms of agreement of the parliament to remove subsidiaries, whereas the subsidiaries are also state assets. Indonesia Forum for Budget or Transparent, FITRA, also questioned the country's increase in capital and trimming targets of state-owned enterprises' dividends in the 2015 state budget change. Coordinator of FITRA Advocacy and investigator Apung Widadi said state funds are mostly invested in state-owned enterprises, but it's our areas in dividend every year. The last item, the Olympic Council of Asia has asked Indonesia to form special committee for Asian Games preparation. The honorary life vice president of OCA, Wei Jisong, said the committee would be play central role in coordination for the Asian sport event that will be hosted by Indonesia in 2018. During the meeting with South Sumatra Governor Ishak Meki and Chairman of Budget Commission of Indonesian Olympic Committee, Ahmedi Solhin, on Saturday, June 13, Wei said that master plans of Palembang and other cities are already satisfying, but unity of vision and mission is needed. Moreover, since Indonesia will hold 2018 Asian Games in Palembang, Jakarta and Bandung, it is more important to have only one coordinating committee with one leader to facilitate coordination between cities. Lastly, Wei also reminded Indonesia to start with promotion program for the sport event. According to Wei, the promotion such as TV broadcasting should be performed long before the event. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Plan to nominate active police officers for the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK post received mixed reaction. Indonesia is expected to become the world Islamic financial center. Indonesia's trade balance in May surplus $955 million. That was the news.
Hello, listener. This is commentary for today entitling Indonesia to become Islamic financial center. Indonesia is likely become the center of the world Islamic finance. The optimism was expressed by Indonesian President Joko Widodo in the opening of I Love Sharia Islamic Finance program in Jakarta yesterday. President Joko Widodo believes that Indonesia could become the Islamic financial center because it has a huge potential in this type of financial service. Currently, Indonesia is the country with the largest microfinance institution in the world. Besides, it is the largest sukuk or Islamic bond issuer and the only one that publishes retail sukuk, so it could be used and developed. According to the Financial Services Authority, by March 2015, the Indonesian Islamic banking industry, which consists of 12 Islamic banks with 22 Islamic business units owned by conventional banks and 163 people's financing bank Sharia, has total assets of almost 265 trillion rupiah and a market share of nearly 5%. Currently, Indonesia has become one of the countries considered by the Islamic Development Bank to be the center of the world's Islamic financial industry, with Turkey as its nearest competitor. Seeing the potentials of Indonesia, it seems very likely this could be achieved. Moreover, Indonesia is the country with the largest Muslim population in the world. Indonesia has published the 2015-2019 roadmap of Islamic banking to realize a Sharia banking that contributes significantly to the economic growth. With the roadmap, the Financial Services Authority encourages the strengthening of Islamic banking capital, among others, by improving the capital requirements of Islamic banking and encouraging the formation of Sharia state and region-owned enterprises. This is especially so with the support of the banking industry that encourage Sharia financing banks. Efforts that are being made through the banking industry linkage program could encourage Islamic economy, which is based on the principles of cooperation, mutual help, and joint responsibility in building the economy of the people. Hopefully, Indonesia will be chosen by the Islamic Development Bank as a center for the world's Islamic financial industry. That was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome to our regular Today in History of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on June 15, 2011, when ASEAN Dengue Day is commemorated. The World Health Organization, WHO, Western Pacific Region, and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, called on the public and private sectors to join forces in the fight against dengue. ASEAN Dengue Day is an advocacy event held every 15th of June to increase public awareness of dengue, to mobilize resources for its prevention and control, and to demonstrate the region's commitment to tackling the disease. The advocacy event was agreed upon during the 10th ASEAN Health Ministers meeting in 2010. The first regional event was held in 2011 in Jakarta, Indonesia. The next event was in 2001, when the Shanghai Cooperation Organization was founded. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization, or CSCO, or Shanghai Pact, is a Eurasian political, economic, and military organization which was founded in 2001 in Shanghai by the leaders of China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Russia, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. These countries, except for Uzbekistan, had been members of the Shanghai Five, founded in 1996. After the inclusion of Uzbekistan in 2001, the members renamed the organization. And the last event was in 1944, when the Battle of Saipan started. The Battle of Saipan was a battle of the Pacific campaign of World War II, fought on the island of Saipan in the Mariana Islands from June 15th to July 9th, 1944. The Allied invasion fleet embarking the expeditionary forces left Pearl Harbor on June the 5th, 1944, the day before Operation Overlord in Europe was launched. The United States 2nd Marine Division, the 1st Marine Division, and the Army's 27th Infantry Division, commanded by Lieutenant General Holland Smith, defeated the 43rd Division of the Imperial Japanese Army, commanded by Lieutenant General Yoshitsugu Saito. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
The This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it is on Indonesia on the alert of MERS virus. The Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS virus, has increasingly threatened Asia. In the past week, 14 people with the virus died in South Korea, and 23 other cases of MERS virus have been found. The Indonesian government has also taken some precautionary measures by issuing a travel advice for Indonesian citizens who want to travel to countries with cases of MERS virus. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi recently said that she had discussed the problem with the Indonesian Health Minister in connection with the spread of the MERS virus in South Korea.
Kita sudah mengeluarkan travel advice dan saya sudah bicara juga dengan Ibu Menkes.
We already issued a travel advice and I also have spoken to the Minister of Health. So we just advised not only the situation but also in details. And then if you see the Foreign Ministry website, there is a link to the Minister of Health which is more detailed because the one which is more competent in providing any information about MERS is the Minister of Health. And from the beginning, I've cooperated with the Minister of Health. According to Retno LP Marsudi, the travel advice issued by the Indonesian government is about the area where the virus has spread and calling for cautions what happened to be there. Retno LP Marsudi added, the rules do not out the possibility that the government will issue a travel warning when the case is getting worse. In the travel advice that has been made public, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs requests Indonesian citizens residing in the area with cases of MERS or will visit the region or country where there are cases of MERS to pay attention to prevention advice recommended by WHO and local health agency related to the public health precautions. Among others, by maintaining personal hygiene, washing hand before and after eating, after using the toilet, and when the hands are dirty, avoiding close contact with people suffering from acute respiratory infections, and avoiding contact with live poultry and with sick or wild animals. The government also suggested that people should choose good and hygienic food, avoid drinking unprocessed milk or eating meat, fruit, and raw vegetables that are not clean or not peeled, as well as drinking water which is not clean or safe. In addition, Indonesian citizens who are in the area where there are cases of MERS are encouraged to stay abreast of local news and the latest updates on local health agencies. Up to Friday, June 12, 2015, 11 people died from the virus and 3,680 suspect patients have been quarantined because of the MERS virus. World Health Organization WHO recorded almost 1,250 cases of MERS worldwide, and at least there are 450 died. While data from the European Disease Prevention and Control said that South Korea is a country with the highest number of cases of MERS virus after the country of origin of the disease, Saudi Arabia. Listener, that was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here is our today's headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta Today, Monday, June 15, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily. In its headlines, Kompas wrote, "Digital world closely attached to the people's life." Digital facilities are increasingly attached to the people's life. Almost all affairs are now using digital technology. The digital technology is known to be efficient and cheap. However, conflict over land businesses is happening. Since last week until Sunday, Kompas has tried to meet some parties who are helped with the presence of digital technology, starting from seeking private teachers, ordering taxis, sending goods, etc. The trend increases with the number of smartphones in Indonesia, which continues to grow. Now we move to Sindo, which writes, "Mass layoffs become real threat." Chairman of the Indonesian Employers Association, Haryadi Bisukamdani, said the business world is very concerned about the development of the national economy today. If not anticipated, large-scale layoffs could occur nationally. The recent economic slowdown has had an impact on the performance of the business. A number of business sectors, such as textiles, footwares, hospitality, cement, mining, and oil and gas services, reportedly have been doing layoffs, their workers. Haryadi explained the condition that occurs at this time has long been predicted. Infrastructure development should have been done a decade ago. Media Indonesia meanwhile wrote obligations of rupiah users not effective yet. Since the beginning of June, Bank Indonesia is obliged to guard the rupiah in order to become master in its own country by requiring its users in the territory of the country, both for cash and non-cash transactions. The obligations are contained in the Bank Indonesia circular letter on June 1, 2015. Although the new violators will be sanctioned on July 1, the implementation of the regulation takes place since the publication. However, the chairman of Asita Bali Council, Ketut Ardana, admitted the ineffectiveness of the Bank Indonesia circulars. He said many tourists are still using the US dollars. It takes time for the tourism industry in Bali as it used to receiving foreign currency. Lack of infrastructure in Kalimantan border with the state of Sabah, Malaysia. Indonesia also encourages residents there to choose to transact in the ringgit to buy goods and services from the neighboring countries. According to Assistant Director of Bank Indonesia's Department of Money Management, Dandi Indarto Seno, effective steps to stop the use of ringgit in the border area are to build the infrastructure to improve connectivity of goods and services. And we end today's headline with Koran Republika, which wrote MERS increasingly alarming. The World Health Organization, WHO, concluded that the spread of the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, in South Korea has reached the broad and complex level. An emergency meeting to address the increasing transmission of the virus is to be held this week. WHO Director General K.G. Fukuda in Seoul Saturday, June 13, asked the South Korean government to improve disease control and prevention efforts. WHO announced it would conduct an emergency meeting on Tuesday, June 16, to discuss MERS epidemic in South Korea. Ministry of Health Research and Development Agency Chandra Yoga Aditama will be one that will attend the meeting. Until Sunday, June 14, at least 145 patients have been infected by MERS in South Korea. And listener, that was today's headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The announcement from the National Police that they plan to nominate two serving officers to become leaders in Indonesia's anti-graft agency has garnered mixed reaction from observers. As the largest Muslim population country in the world, the Indonesian government will continue to encourage the development of Indonesian Islamic finance industry to become the world Islamic financial center. The Indonesian Central Statistics Agency record that Indonesia's trade balance in May 2015 enjoys a surplus worth $955 million. Australia on Monday told Indonesia to better secure its borders in a stinging rebuke after Jakarta demanded answers to allegations Canberra paid to turn back a boat of asylum seekers. Container terminal operator at Tanjung Priok Port has taken measures to prevent imported container losses during container moving process. One of the measures includes electronic-based tracker or ECL installment on containers. The National Democrat Nasdem Party suggested the revision of Law No. 19, year 2003, on state-owned enterprises. The Olympic Council of Asia has asked Indonesia to form special committee for Asian Games preparation. The honorary life vice president of the OCA, Wee Ji-song, said the committee would be play a central role in coordination for the Asian sport event that will be hosted by Indonesia in 2018. That was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia.
You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to an art from Batanghari, South Sumatra province, called Batanghari Sembilan, so stay tuned.
Cincin kau jeriji, elang menari lawan kukunya. Ayo berpikir nih kau diri, pinjangmu jadi lawan jodoh. Ayo berpikir kau nih diri, pinjangmu jadi lawan jodohnya.
Listener, you've just listened to a clip of traditional music of South Sumatra, which is known as Batanghari Sembilan music. Batanghari Sembilan is a guitar musical rhythm which develops in South Sumatra, especially in areas passed by nine watercourses of Musi River, the largest river in South Sumatra. Batanghari means Hari River. Batang means river in local language. In a broader sense, Batanghari Sembilan is a culture which is based on the river. This culture is an agrarian culture in harmony with nature. The music which is expressed from this culture has romantic, melancholic, and naturalistic nuance. Listener, the music and song of Batang Hari Sembilan was estimated to come from Rejung. Rejung is a saying literature in Besamah, South Sumatra. Previously, Rejung did not use traditional instrument to accompany the sound. It was only said with typical rhythm. Then, Rejung was harmonized with simple percussion, such as getak, which is made from bamboo, redap from animal leather, and gung or kenung from iron. Rejung instrument is added again with wind instrument from bamboo, wind instrument from iron or ginggung, even it is made from leaf or charak. Meanwhile, modern musical instruments such as guitar, accordion, trumpet, and violin presumably started to accompany Batang Hari Sembilan music since the European people came to South Sumatra. But since the 1960s, the music was dominated by solo guitar, so that Batang Hari Sembilan is known as a musical art with solo guitar. Today, Batang Hari Sembilan is not only accompanied by guitar, but also accordion and violin. Kain abang bejai tangan, belapik dikai batang padi, gimbe kuang bukan alangan, kalau kendaan kan dijalani. If we translate it in Bahasa Indonesia, it means red fabric is sewn by hand, rice stalks are put on mats. When it comes to a strong willingness, dense jungle forest is not an obstacle. That was an example of lyrics in Batang Hari Sembilan song. The song is usually a pantun or rhyme in ABAB rhyme scheme. The language which is used is Malay language. Previously, these songs were often sung by a single man while walking from hamlet to hamlet accompanied by a solo guitar to a girl's house. In the past, Batang Hari Sembilan song told about romance of a single man's life at the hamlet at the time. Then, the theme developed to be about nature and daily life. Listener, in one of areas in South Sumatra, namely Ogan Ilir Regency, there is one region which until now preserves Batang Hari Sembilan art, namely Muara Kuang Village. At this sub-district, the song of Batang Hari Sembilan, known as Tembang Nasib, or in English means Destiny Song, was firstly popularized. Since 1970s until now, Batang Hari Sembilan art is accompanied by regional dances and songs. Now, Batang Hari Sembilan song is often performed to welcome the important guests such as governor, regents, etc. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Berbelanja di Pasar Seni, or in English means Shopping at the Art Market. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expression that related to today's topic of conversation. I say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Berbelanja. Berbelanja, which means shopping. Pasar seni. Pasar seni, which means art market. Patung. Patung, which means sculpture. Karya seni. Karya seni, which means artwork. Traditional. Traditional, which means traditional. Dibuat. Dibuat, which means made of. Kayu. Kayu, which means wood. Diukir. Diukir, which means to be carved. Alat sederhana. Alat sederhana, which means a simple tool. Lebih kecil. Lebih kecil, which means smaller. Tinggi. Tinggi, which means high. 50 cm. 50 cm, which means 50 cm. Harga pas. Harga pas, which means fixed price. Boneka kayu. Boneka kayu, which means wooden toy. Memakai. Memakai, which means wearing. Baju. Baju, which means clothes. 100 ribu. 100 ribu, which means 100,000. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Berbelanja di Pasar Seni, or in English means shopping at the art market. The conversation is between A, the seller, and B, Billy, at the art market. A, the seller. Ini patung Asmat. Ini patung Asmat, which means this is an Asmat sculpture. Karya seni tradisional Papua. Karya seni tradisional Papua, which means the traditional artwork of Papua. B. Billy. Ini terbuat dari kayu. Ini terbuat dari kayu, which means is it made of wood? A. The seller. Ya. Patung ini diukir dengan menggunakan alat sederhana. Patung ini diukir dengan menggunakan alat sederhana, which means yes, the sculpture is carved by using a simple tool. B. Billy. Ada yang lebih kecil? Ada yang lebih kecil, which means is there any the smaller one? A. Seller. Ada. Ini tingginya 50 cm. Ada. Ini tingginya 50 cm. Which means here it is. It is 50 cm high. B. Billy. Berapa harganya? Berapa harganya? Which means how much is it? A. The seller. Harganya 100 ribu rupiah. Harganya 100 ribu rupiah, which means it is 100,000 rupiah. Maaf, di sini semuanya harga pas. Maaf, di sini semuanya harga pas, which means sorry, all items here are sold in fixed price. B. Billy. Apa nama boneka kayu yang memakai baju itu? Apa nama boneka kayu yang memakai baju itu? Which means, what is the name the wooden toy wearing clothes? A. The sailor. Itu adalah wayang golek dari Jawa Barat. Itu adalah wayang golek dari Jawa Barat. Which means, it is a golek puppet from West Java. B. Billy. Kalau begitu, saya ambil patung Asmat saja. Kalau begitu, saya ambil patung Asmat saja. Which means, okay, I take the Asmat sculpture. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present you an Indonesian female keroncong singer, Tuti Trisedia. Well listener, let's listen to a song entitled Telaga Biru by Tuti Trisedia. Here is the song. This song tells the story of one of the natural beauty as a gift from the god. Under the sun, the blue lake brings peace to anyone who look at it. Tuti Mariati or Tuti Trisedia was born in Makassar, South Sulawesi on October 8, 1956. Her career in singing has begun since she got the first winner on Star Radio and Television Competition in 1986, for Kranchang music. According to Tuti, she never learned Kranchang music. She just learned how to sing from hearing Waljina or Sundari Sukocho, two Indonesian Kranchang singers. In 1988, Tuti became a singer at the State Palace to sing in front of the state guests. For Tuti, the softness is the key to Kranchang music, which is able to shoot the soul of those who listen to it. Therefore, Kranchang should be displayed with more attractive packaging and appearance. Tuti was a presenter, singer, and coordinator of the Gebyar Kranchang show, which was aired at TVRI. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Rayuan Pulau Kelapa. Have listening. Rayuan Pulau Kelapa is a song written by Ismail Marzuki, who was lived in 1914 to 1958. The lyrics of the song is about the natural beauty of Indonesia, its islands, especially the beauty of its beaches. Together with the Indonesian art delegation, Tuti Trisedia has traveled to dozen countries for several times. She also founded Kranchang Warung Gaul as the media gathering for Kranchang lovers, as well as a forum for the young Kranchang singers who want to try out their voice and enjoy it by the visitors. This studio has born some young Kranchang singers who have also entered the studio, like Sri Yono, a blind singer who has a golden voice. At the end of 2014, Tuti Trisedia, together with Victor Hutabarat, became guest at Solo Kranchang Festival. Kranchang has been part of Tuti's life. Kranchang has represented her experiences, and Kranchang remains a sense of peace for her. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Keroncong Morisco and Tinggi Gunung Seribu Janji. Here are the songs.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.